Boy, certainly it's good to be here. Boy, I tell you, in fact, I'm just glad to be saved. And if I wasn't saved this morning, I'd get saved. Amen. That's the right thing to do. Amen. We're going to get to it in just a moment. I guess they may want me to turn this on. I always ask my wife to read little stuff. Is it on? Amen. I'm normally mine at the house, and a little light come on. Amen. Amen. Well, the topic this morning has been assigned to me. Is I heard Mike say last night. He helped me last night. Was that not good? I told him, man, we can shut it down right there and go home and be full. Amen. But since we got this day here, we might as well go on. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this topic about how we ought to treat each other. And when I was growing up, my mom, we used to get a lot of hand-me-downs. Sometimes they came from inside the house, but sometimes they come from outside the house. And if somebody sent something over there, we see, can we wear it? And oftentimes my brother used to be taller than me. And I was smaller. And my mom would bring in some clothes and stuff. What she would do is better get a suit coat or some pants or whatever. And she said, come here. And she'd hold them up to me, and they looked like they're too long and way too big. And she said, put them on. And she'd get to working with them, tucking and pulling and get a string on the back and get those loops and tie them, draw them in, amen. And get those, I'm talking about the sleeves be way down here. She tuck it in, and I said, don't fit. She said, oh, we're going to make it fit. We're going to make it fit. I said that to say this message this morning, the topic I got, we're going to make it fit, amen. We're going to make it fit. In some areas anyway, amen. But I am thankful to be here today, and thank God for the opportunity to preach. Thank God to be back at Crossroads and looking back over 25 years. It ain't been told that I've heard all that then took place. And just sitting here is really hard to know what God done in these 25 years. Outside of going to each church and talking to each pastor, it's hard to know and to sense the very presence of God has been in these places, and lives has been changed, been impacted. Churches been started, other churches been started, schools and missionaries and monies have been sent forth from these churches to evangelize the world. It's not been told. I thought we was going to have something Mike and them put together, man, showing all that had happened, but he couldn't do it because only God got the record. The score was being kept in heaven. And so it's certainly good to be here. And I think this is, it could be, I believe it, the best days of COVID still ahead of us. Looking back is one thing, and that's good. But I tell you, I think the best days, because let me say this here, it's more to do now than when we started. And it's harder today than when we started. And so it's going to take a measure of God's grace and his power for us to effectively to go forward. And so thank God for Pastor Baldwin and investment, and thank God for just what's been going on, maintaining. It's good to see familiar faces. It helps me to see some same faces around here. It helps me to be able to hug a man that I've seen before. I like you new guys too now, don't get me wrong, but it helps me. I'm 55, amen, and I like old stuff, amen. I like the old past, amen. And so we thank God for that. I'm trying to get the nerves out, amen. And they don't get out before long, we're going to start anyway, amen. But take your Bibles this morning. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. I want to say a few things this morning. I'm a really want to kind of warm this thing up for Brother Dr. Bennett. When you get doctors behind you, I got enough sense to know just get on out the way. Just you got Dr. Sis and Dr. Bennett. I'm here just to warming up, trying to get it primed just a little bit. And thank God for those that would come behind us. And thank God for my wife this morning. Thank God for my family. God has done something. For those that don't know it, my wife done had several episodes where she could have went all the way from around here. But God had mercy. Amen. He knew how it would what straight it would leave me in. And he said, look, even though these things happen, it's something that show the hand of God is able. Even during adversity, he's still good. Amen. So I want to thank God for my wife and my family. And I want to thank him even for my son-in-law. And by the way, for those that don't know, I'm looking for three more. I'm looking for three more. Amen. And we're taking applications today. Amen. And what you need to do first and foremost is have your pastor send me a letter of recommendation. Amen. Because outside of that, we ain't nothing to talk about. Amen. And my daughters don't appreciate that all the time, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen. And we're taking applications. Amen. Amen. And so praise God. Amen. I think the nerves are almost gone now. Amen. Acts chapter number 4. I want to also appreciate James, a good friend of mine. He's here this morning, and we go way back, worked at the Internal Revenue together, and he still lives up here. He's since retired. He lost his wife last year, and may God continue to bless him and mercy be upon his life, and good that he can come over and support the ministry, the meeting this morning, and good to see Brother Hamilton. He's been wanting to get up here for a while now, and we thank God for him. He's from Mississippi. That's the best way I can take it. Amen. And he's from the Delta. If you don't understand what that means, look at that suit he got on. Amen. That's Mississippi. Amen. And it ain't a problem. That's just what it is. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just Mississippi. I didn't come from Mississippi. I come from Arkansas. We about a notch that high. Amen. Above Mississippi. Amen. And so, but we do appreciate him and his wife doing a tremendous job, a tremendous soul winner, a tremendous preacher, and God has used him literally all many, many places. And I thank God for the testimony he's established doing the work of God there in Greenville, Mississippi. Acts chapter 4, look with me there. We begin reading in verse number 32. The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither were there any amongst them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which consolation, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to share your word. And Lord, I pray you might take me as a vessel and Lord, use me. Make the difference. I pray that you might help me to convey what you've put in my heart. Make the difference, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm not going to do much moving anyway. It makes Brother Bennett kind of sad when I don't move or not, but it'll be all right. Amen. In our text, we find a familiar story for most people. And as we find here in the Word of God, we see that Barnabas comes on the scene in a way that is really unprecedented. Most times when you start to read about somebody, you start to get a feel for what's kind of going on. But when, in our text here, we see that Barnabas, the Bible says, the first mention of his name and whatever happened here is the Bible says this here, is that when he came, he brought some to the table. And before he came, there's some things had already transpired in so much that the apostles had took notice of this man. And because of the uniqueness of his life, the Bible says that these men decided they're going to change his name to go along with who he was. In essence, what he's saying is this here. He says, Barnabas, let me tell you. He said, Joseph, let me tell you some things here. And everywhere we go, we can tell you've been around it. Because when we go places, we see folks been encouraged. We see folks been enriched. We see people have a zeal to serve God. He said, we don't need to call you Joseph. We need to call you Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. And the question was asked, and the title was, how we ought to treat somebody. How we ought to treat each other. And I simply believe when the first thought was that we ought to be Christian. Fore and foremost, you know, it's hard to treat somebody as a Christian if you ain't one. And I thank God allowed the word Christian here to be used, associated with Barnabas. And we're going to look at that in just a little bit. And so as we notice this man this morning, I want us to understand that Barnabas was such a great, valuable asset to the early church. In so much that the Bible says that he had an impact when the apostles then took notice of your action. And when the apostles then looked at you and evaluated you. We're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about men of God, men that got the Spirit of God in their lives. And the Bible said that they decided that this man's name need to be changed because of his actions. Not what he said, but what he had done. He was a tremendous example. I like to say it like this. Barnabas was not just a pioneer. He was one of the pioneers in the early church. God used him to set an example. He had a pioneer spirit on his life. In so much that God used him and to be an encouragement. And I want us to look at this thing a little bit this morning and help us to glean some things from Barnabas as it relates to knowing how we ought to treat somebody. I believe there's an expectation from every Christian that we be Christian. God wants us to act Christian and we God wants us to be Christian, amen. One of the greatest assets that I believe Barnabas had is that he understood this thing about Christianity. Let me say what I'm talking about. When I first got to Crossroads, I was already saved. I had been in a traditional church for a number of years. And let me tell you, when I showed up here at Crossroads, my wagon was about half empty. Half empty. But after sitting around here for a while, God allowed me to start to get a bigger picture of everything that was going on. Because before, I didn't understand what ministry was about. I didn't understand why I go to church. I didn't understand why you need to give. I didn't understand why you need to go. I didn't understand about being faithful. I didn't understand these things. But I'm telling you, Barnabas had the big picture early. It took me a while to get to see the big picture. He was able to see the big picture and understand, and he understood purpose. Are you listening? What I believe this man had that most folks don't have is that he understood purpose. He understood why he was there. A lot of folk that show up. Let me explain what I'm saying. See, soon as Barnabas was introduced, as the scripture brought him to our understanding, the first thing we find here is that he showed up with some money in his hand. That tells you how much of the picture you understand. See, he showed up. Most folks show up with both hands out, mouth wide open. Barnabas showed up with both hands full of money. That's a big difference. When you show up and you're trying to bring something, most folks trying to get something. And so we find here that this man understood very well what ministry was all about. And that's where we're lacking today. Most of the folks here this morning and in our churches and Christianity hadn't saw the big picture yet. You say, how you know? Because when you see the big picture, it does something to you. It mobilizes you. It makes you do something. It makes you want to get involved. It makes you want to make a difference. See, Barnabas wanted to make a difference in so much that he wasn't willing to just sit back and hope somebody else do it. This man wanted to get something done. He had a pioneer spirit. And I want to give us just a few things here this morning. And because Barnabas, I believe, he specialized in the area of encouragement. And the question is, how should we treat folks? Treat folk. I think it ought to be a time in our life where all of us have desired to encourage somebody. See, it's not enough to say you got Jesus on. Have it helped anybody else? And by the way, when you see the big picture, it will help somebody else. You can't tell me you see the big picture and understand like Barnabas if we're not moving like Barnabas. It just don't happen. Barnabas had a heart for ministry. He had a heart for people. And so much that it changed his life. It molded his life. He was known as an encourager. In essence, when Barnabas spent time with you, you was enriched. And I think about an encourager, and I can say this here without any reservations. I can remember this when my wife and I first got here. We were still brand new to this thing called fundamentalism. In fact, I didn't even know nothing about it. But after being here for a while, and now I heard it said that you ought to go to church Sunday night. You ought to go Wednesday night. Then they started talking about soul winning. Then I heard somebody say something about a bus ministry. And I said, man, why can't I have some of that? And I got in on everything. Every time they opened the doors down there, I was around there. If they was cutting the grass, I was cutting the grass. They were sweeping up, I was there. Why? It's because I wanted some of it. I wanted some of it. And so, but let me tell you this here. In doing all that, I needed somebody to hold my hand a little bit. Because I come from Arkansas, and I can mess up some quick. Real quick. And let me tell you, one of the men that I can distinctly remember that encouraged me was Dr. Roger Siebel. That guy helped me. He helped. I had some... In fact, I went with Herman Feller. Who is it? Herman! I said, whoa! I said, man, if they come to the door, they gonna shoot somebody. We Herman Feller, we from the crossroads. By, hey, man, he was like barking at him, man. I was scared to death. Next week, guess what? I go with Dr. Roger Siebel. He wasn't a doctor then, but he was a doctor to me. I listened at every word he said. He knocked on the door. Wasn't on it. I said, oh, you ain't got to beat it down. Oh, okay. And he said, "This is Roger Siebel. We from the Crossroads Baptist Church. We out." And I said, "Whoa! So it ain't got to be this Brutus type." And he went on, and with his personality, led that person to the Lord. Let me tell you, that helped me that day. I got encouraged. So when I think about someone that encouraged me, I can think about Dr. Roger Siebel that had an impact on my life and encouraging. See, I want us to look if you would. I want you to see something here this morning with me this morning in verse number 36. Barnabas was a load bearer. What you mean by that, preacher? Notice the text we read earlier. The Bible says, "In the multitude of them that believed were of one heart." Then the Bible says, and notice, we can't never overlook verse 33, "And great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection and the Lord Jesus, and great grace above them all." Let me tell you, it ain't going to get done outside the power of God and the grace of God. And the Bible says, "Neither were there any amongst them that lacked, for as many were possessors of land and of houses, sold them." He said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Barnabas, and it still amazes me how, why did God have to single him out? He said they was already doing that. But then it says in verse number 36, and Joseph, why did God have to say this about him? It's some other folks that already been doing this and sold and brought the money. But Barnabas had taken it a step further. This man, because of his testimony he had already established with the apostles, was different. I think the difference is that he understood what was going on. He understood when he came, he wanted to make a difference. He saw the need. The Bible says that, notice what he says, sold and brought it. And this is something we don't even recognize sometimes. The Bible said he brought it and put it at the apostles' feet and went on back to serving God. He didn't ask, "What y'all going to do with this? I need a receipt of what y'all going to do. I need to see what you're doing with this." The Bible says that he brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet and went on back to serving God. One word about what they were doing. Because they had something to do and he had something to do. And it wasn't no issue. Folk want to check up on everything. All that stuff sounds good, but let me tell you, you didn't get that from Barnabas. Barnabas, he mastered his money. Let me explain what I'm saying there. When you bring your money up front like that, that tells me you don't got a handle on it. In essence, what I'm saying is this here. If Barnabas has some issues, it wasn't a money problem. You say, "How you know?" Because he brought it and laid it down and went on. You know what I'm talking about. When they start talking and giving something around here, you go to hee-haw. Trying to figure out. Barnabas, listen. A lot of Christians have issues today. And it ought not be money. Not the God we serve. There's a lot of folk got money issues. Let me tell you, when money is your issue, it's going to limit you from the blessings of God. You're not going to be as used. Pastor said, and I don't know if it's original to him, you can give and not be spiritual, but you'll never be spiritual until you learn how to give. Barnabas laid the foundation there. You say you're spiritual? Barnabas brought his and put his on the table and went on about his business. He wanted to help somebody. I believe Barnabas understood Galatians 6 and verse 2. It says, "Bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ." He wanted to help somebody. Reason he brought his is because what was in him. He wanted to encourage somebody. He wanted to enrich somebody. People have needs. Not only was Barnabas a load bearer, but Barnabas was a risk taker and a friend maker. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 9, turn there with me. Acts chapter 9, how y'all treat somebody. Acts chapter 9, notice what the Bible says in verse number 26. "And Saul was come to Jerusalem and assured to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But notice this, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoke to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and out at Jerusalem. Notice what the Bible says. They were afraid of him. Barnabas wasn't. He was a man that had just been killing Christians, persecuting the church. Barnabas was a risk taker. He was a friend maker. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul needed a friend right then. He needed a friend. Let me tell you, Barnabas decided, I'm not going to run. I know what he did, but somebody done told him, I done seen this man. The God is on him now, amen. He needed a friend. And Barnabas just happened to be an encourager. Let me tell you something. All of us need a friend. All of us need a friend. Are you listening? All of us need a friend. And in fact, Paul needed one. Many people need encouragement. Did you know there's a lot of folk just like the Apostle Paul that had life been changed by God and folks still afraid of him? But Barnabas was a risk taker and a friend maker. Let me say this morning, and now I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, if you'll let me. What did Barnabas do? He was a risk taker. You say, what kind of risk was it? He wasn't sure. There's a lot of folks say one thing and do something else. But he was a risk taker. Why? It's because he wanted to help somebody. Did you know there's a lot of church planters out here need somebody to take a chance with them? I can remember when Brother Hamilton called me and said he wanted to come and present. He was going to Greenville to start, a church. And I talked with him. I said, man, and what are you going to do down there? I'm dumb. I pulled this chain. I said, what you know about planting the church? He said, all that stuff sounds good, man. And I based on, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You want to go start a church. In essence, I took a chance. I took a risk. He came and he said, I want to come. And really, I thought I was really about to get bamboozled because we had him scheduled and he couldn't make it. He canceled at the last minute. I think I called and told Brother Ted, I ain't fooling that guy. I ain't no fool for that guy. But he called me back, and he said something that I needed to hear. He said, the only reason I didn't come is because the pastor asked me to stay over and to stay another day and to continue to minister in their church. I said, I wish you'd have told me that from the get-go. Amen. But what I'm saying is Barnabas took a chance. There's a lot of men. Whenever I find a guy, if I hear of a guy, say he's finna go plant a church, especially in Black America, listen, I'm reaching out to him. I call men. I've flown men in. I've tried to help somebody. Why? It's because most men, just like the Apostle Paul, needed somebody to hold the hand. Somebody needs to make an investment in somebody's life. And let me tell you something. There are some men out here. Let me tell you, if you say you're the kind of Christian Barnabas is, you ought to be reaching out to somebody. You ought to find somebody that you can help. If you ain't helped nobody in a while, you ought to watch yourself. Because it ain't just about you. It's about the kingdom. Reaching out. Let me tell you, most people, listen to me, are afraid to even deal with a church plant. Because when you start talking to them, you're going to find out they need something. You don't want to deal with them. You find out they need something, and they may ask you for something. I hate to say this, but a lot of folks don't want to fool with them. Would just rather let them go on out there and just fail than to reach out and help them. But Barnabas, the Bible says, when Paul got saved, everybody was afraid of him. He said, come on, man, you with me. He took him down there and said, let me tell you, here's the man. He said, he went down and showed up, and then he said, man, let me tell you what I've seen myself. When I talked to Brother Gamble and Bennett and Brother Ted and Brother Sebrew and told folks, we got a man that want to go to Greenville. And I said, if he my man, he ought to be your man. And I told Brother Bennett that the other day. I said, if he your man, he my man. Amen. But you got to let me know about it. Amen. You got to vouch for him. Because we ain't going back now. We're going forward. But Barnabas was a risk taker. We're living in a day that we need somebody to take a risk on somebody because the work of God got to go forward. I said earlier, it's more to do now than it was then. And so when we find a young man, and we're going to check him out now. We ain't embracing in and everything. Are you listening? I was talking to Brother Hamilton, and I said, let me ask you a serious question here. I'm finna get in your business a little bit. Now, I talked to them all just the same. I said, what do you think about standards? He said, I'm for it. I said, explain them. He went on and told me. I said, uh-huh. I said, you're getting closer in here. Amen. I said, look, we got to be talking about the same thing. We got to be talking about the same thing. And so Barnabas was a risk taker and a friend maker. He was an encourager. He saw an opportunity to be a blessing to the Apostle Paul. How many other Apostle Paul's types could be out in the wings that need somebody to take a chance on? Take a chance. Barnabas not only was a risk taker and a friend maker, he was a bridge builder. He put up bridges and then put up fences. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 22, the Bible says that then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Why did he send him? I'm talking about this persecution. Why did they send him down there? Because he was a bridge builder. There's so many folks that we good fundamentalists is building fences. There's so many fences been built, there's so much divide and conquer. Man, it don't make any sense. But if we're going to be Christian, we got to follow the man that God allowed in the very beginning to set forth the example for us. He was a bridge builder. Can I say this? It's going to take all of us in these last few days, we got to have a greater effort in building some bridges. We're not going to get the work of God done by ourselves. We're not going to get it done by ourselves. We need some men today that would build a bridge instead of put up a fence. Are you listening? I can think back to some times in my life when you start thinking about Barnabas and how much of an encourager he was. I remember back in 1997, early 1998, I was showing up. Going to a preacher's fellowship, I had called and I wanted to get some support. I wanted to go to a preacher's meeting. I want some men, I wanted to get a chance to meet some men, give them an opportunity to get in on what God is about to do in Memphis. I showed up and I got there just about a few minutes late because I got down in Alabama, got lost. We got there and I had my wife and my family. We was just about to go in and look, and Brother Bob Lamont was showing up. He got there late and he said, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good. He said, what's your name? I said, I'm Clinton Pine. He said, why are you here? I said, I'm getting ready to go plant a church in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, I planted a church in 1971 there on Saxton Avenue. And I said, wow, amen. And we got to talking for about 5 minutes outside. We already late, and he talked. I didn't know what was going on, but he was befriending me. Let me explain what I'm saying. When I walked in there, first opportunity he had, he said, hey, y'all, I want to introduce you to my good friend, Brother Clinton Patterson. I said, this guy ain't know me 5 minutes. He's a good man. Let me say this now. He encouraged me that night. I showed up. I'm fresh out the gate. I don't know nothing about this kind of stuff. But he said, this is my friend. Let me tell you, 5 men took me on for support that day. Got a chance to go preach in all of them church. And I'm talking about, let me tell you, God encouraged me there. Amen. It was just a man just decided to take a chance. Amen.
A
white man. Can I tell you that? He took a chance. I could have went in there and messed this thing up. Hey, they didn't know nothing about Coba. Coba was, man, didn't nobody know about this place, but he took a chance. And he encouraged me. Do you listen? He encouraged me. My heart was strong. When I left there, boy, I felt like I was somebody. It wasn't pride. It just felt like I was endued with greater power to do what God had wanted me to do. I feel like I can get it. I got some strength from it. I can remember another time that March 1998, about 9:30, then about 9:20, I got two phone calls. You say, what day was that? That's the day we got started. I was a nervous wreck. Are you listening? I was a nervous wreck. I got two phone calls that morning. One of them was from Pastor Ball. He said, let me pray with you. He don't know when he got off the phone, boy, I ready to charge hell. Amen. I wasn't sure what this thing was. Well, I knew what was about to happen was so important, and I was so nervous because let me tell you, when you're getting ready to get started, let me tell you, quitting is being taken off the table. You hear me? I'm telling you, from this day forward, it's got to be on. Commitment has got to be at its highest. Faithfulness got to be off the chain. From this day forward, all of this stuff was on my mind that morning. It wasn't a chance for me to bag up. And when he called me, he kind of said, that's it, let's go. 15, 20 minutes later, I get a call from Mike Stansel, a friend of mine down in Mississippi. He said, Brother Patterson, I've been praying for you this morning. Let me pray with you. He said, you're going to need this prayer in the morning. I said, I need it right now. What I'm saying is, I got a phone call that encouraged me. Now, I'm trying to tell you this morning that you can encourage somebody if you want to. And the reason you don't do it because you don't want to. I'm talking about a phone call. Now, it's unlimited. Now, it used to cost you using your minutes. A phone call can help somebody. Are you listening? Just a phone call can put somebody, put some gas in the tank. Too many today don't have no gas in the tank, and you got it and won't even call. You're afraid they may need something. They may ask you for something. They might tell you that things are going bad, and you don't want to be bothered with it because you got some on your own hand. A phone call. Are you listening? I got encouraged that day. Listen, Barnabas was a risk taker. He was a bridge builder. But not only that, Barnabas was a discipler. As you heard me say earlier, this man understood ministry. We know the story. Acts chapter 11, the Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. But it didn't happen until the Bible says Barnabas went and got Paul. They went down there for, the Bible says, a whole year.
That's right.
And I'm starting to rethink how we do things from the Bible. Because we have probably 85 to 90% of all the people in our church have gone through discipleship. And the ones that hadn't gone, they're going through it now. What I'm trying to realize and understand this morning, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas took them for a whole year. And when they come up out of there, the Bible says that they looked and act like Christians. The people say, I'm telling you that Barnabas had something in him that he can help somebody. When you got way around Barnabas, people can tell you've been with Jesus. He was an encourager. He enriched those men's lives. And the Bible says that after being there for a year, being taught in the Word of God, we just simply call it discipleship now.
Amen.
And by the way, that's where we ought to have been got it from. It takes a moment. It takes a time for a man and a woman and boy and young people to get acclimated in this thing, what we call Christianity. But when they left way around Barnabas, their life was changed. People saw something different in them. It's amazing. It's hard to find people today that's been a difference been made in their life. I tell folks all the time, if you is what you was, then you ain't. That ain't good English, but it's good preaching. He was a disciple maker. He developed men. He developed people. Why? Because he had a heart for the things of God. The Bible said they had the Holy Ghost on him. Folks got saved, amen. Sinners, when they saw him come up, they just started giving up, amen. I'm going to get saved, amen. Power of God on this man so thick, man, this God used him in a tremendous way. And where we get, where we find something else other than that? That's the only biblical pattern we have. And let me close in a minute. In a minute. Barnabas had something to offer. And he understood. Listen to me. He understood what he had. There's a lot of Christians got what the lost folks need, but you don't understand it enough to give it to them. It's folks been sitting in church for years and years, been sucking it up and sucking it up and sucking it up. Bring some of that on somebody. Help somebody. Barnabas, not only was he a bridge builder and a disciple developer, but Barnabas was a failure fixer. He said, what you talking about? Look in Acts chapter 15. We know the story. In fact, you ain't got to go there. So don't go there. Let me just tell you. The Bible says that Barnabas and Paul decided they're going to go back to encourage those men. And the Bible says that Mark had quit. He had quit on him. And here they are getting ready to go back. And as they're getting ready to go back, they start to talk. And he said, look, let me hold on. Wait a minute. Paul, wait a minute. Let me get Mark. He's going. He said, Paul said, no, you ain't either. He said, that guy. And he said, when last time we were down here, this man went down there. We're in the middle of ministering to these folks. He got up and quit. He said, he ain't going with me. He said, man. And then Barnabas looked at him and said, let me tell you something. You may be through with him, but God ain't. And the Bible says that he not only, he told the Apostle Paul, and the Bible said there was some contention there. He said, oh, he going. He said, well, he ain't going with me. No, he ain't. I don't take quitters. That guy quit. I was embarrassed last time that guy went down there. We down in the middle of something. I looked up, he gone. Went back to his mama's house. I ain't finna fool with him. I'm through with him. I'm through with him. Let me tell you something. Barnabas said, listen, you may be, but I got some work to do. I still see some value in this man. And by the way, from what I read and study, I understand that he didn't just get in sin. He just got tired and quit. So he didn't get an adulterer or something taken with him. And the Bible says that Barnabas and Saul, they parted companies. In essence, that tells me something. There's a lot of folks out here that hit a big bump in the road that need a Barnabas in their life. Somebody to go down and say, listen, you messed up, but come on. Come on. I'm a risk taker. Come on, let's go again. Let's go again. I'm talking, in essence, I think what Barnabas was saying was this here. Paul, you don't understand, but we need all hands on deck. We can't afford to have a guy that can do this not doing it. I've heard Ted say, and I've said it, and others have said it, we can't afford not to have a guy down in Greenville. We can't afford not to have a guy down there in New Orleans. Now, what do that mean? That means something. Let me tell you what it means. When it comes down to it, we got to do what it takes to keep him down there. Hello? 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 Did you get the text? Ain't nobody responded to the text yet. Hey, we trying to keep a man down there. And as you going, you need to help get him down there. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? Bartimaeus realized, man, it's some value still in that man. That's happened. That's happened. Matthew chapter 10, let me close. Let me give you something here. Let me give you some motivation. Since I said all that, can I motivate you a little bit now? Matthew chapter 10. I want to say this, and I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself. There's something you ain't got to explain. But if I need to, I will. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet, what? Reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of righteousness, a righteous man shall receive a righteous man, what? Reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Are you listening? God motivates us to reach out. And he puts different levels on it. If you help that kind of man, that's the kind of blessing you're going to get. Are you listening? That's Bible. We ought to be motivated to reach out and help somebody. Are you listening? Well, I don't know if the Holy Ghost or my flesh said something, just whispered to me. I don't think I'm going to move on, but I'm trying to tell you, there's some folks need some help. And money ain't all they need. There's some men out here say they want to go do something but don't have a clue what they're trying to do. Brother Seaver, where's that couple at? There they are. Yeah. I just heard his story. Blessing. He wanted to do something for God. And God led him Brother Siebel's way. He's going to go down there with Brother Siebel and figure out what's going on. Learn what to do. Because let me tell you, and this ain't no slight on nobody, but if you've been sitting in a predominantly white church and you say you want to go reach black folks, you need to get somewhere where they're doing it at before you go out. Because it ain't the same. It is not the same. I told several men that. I told Brother Hamilton that. Now, I told several men, I said, listen, it ain't the same. It ain't the same. And you know, he just like most church planters. You can't tell him nothing. You can't tell him nothing. And I said, listen, in about 6 months, you're going to know. Or before. I think it was 5 months and 2 days. He called me and said, preacher, you was right. Our dear friend up in Brother Rudolph in Lima, he had to go almost a year and a half before he realized. He was stubborn. He done bagged all the way back down off that horse he was on. He said, man, we got to take a time and minister to these people. I said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, it's real. And I said, let me tell you something. Here's some folks need to know what to do. And the Cobra movement and just Christianity movement, we need some men today that would have a pioneer Barnabas spirit on them, understanding that the work of God still got to go forward. We need to help somebody that needs some help. We ain't talking about giving them all your money. Some of the help, they can come see what you're doing and how you're doing and get something that money can't buy. That's the thing money can't buy. Some know-how. Listen, we trust in God. Going to raise up some more Barnabas. And I'm trusting that out of this group here that we'll find somebody around here that's more willing to help somebody that need some help. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, take the rest of our day and glorify yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.